If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We are thankful to see each one here tonight. Glad to have some old friends, old faces here tonight. Haven't seen them quite some time. Certainly thankful that the Lord has blessed us to have good young people. I know we're not always able to be here, but glad that we've got these willing to come. Certainly a blessing. The future of the church. You think about young people coming up, these born in the church and these willing to come. What a blessing that is. And I hope that we can, as I say these young people, I hope myself, the older ones, can impart some wisdom down to you and at least show you what it means to be faithful. That's my prayer for myself, that I can be faithful. And others would see that, and they would want what I have. And I trust every church member here, we want the same. We want to be a bright and shining light in this world. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 31. Just want to read a couple of verses here. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I'll cease reading these verses. I'm very interested in this thought of malice. That's what I want to try to get on our heart tonight, the thought of malice. Now, notice how he closes this out, and he said, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, he didn't just say forgive one another. He said forgive the way Christ forgives you. Now, I tell you what, that just about tie your hands with any argument you want to have. I've heard people say, well, I tell you what, you just don't know what they've done. I tell you what, according to Scripture, it really don't matter. It really don't matter what they've done. We are to forgive the way Christ forgives us. I'm thankful that I was able to be saved and God didn't say, well, you have this one thing right here I'm just not willing to look over. You've got this one thing right here I'm just not going to forgive you for. I'm thankful that it was not that way with God, and it should not be that way with us. But very interested in the thought of malice. Notice he says, put away these things, and he mentions things like bitterness. Well, we understand what bitterness is, you know, and so we say, well, I need to do better. And he put away wrath. Okay, I know I need to do better on that. I certainly don't need to fly off the handle as much. Put away evil speaking. And so we say, well, I know I shouldn't be gossiping. And I know that I shouldn't say anything. As old saying, your mama always said, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. We like to use quotes like that because it makes us feel better about ourselves. And often in our Christian growth, we begin to practice what I would say a willpower type of temperance. I'm going to try real, real hard to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to try real, real hard to do what God said. So he said, don't be bitter. In other words, I'm going to try hard. And what we will do is we'll get this attitude, I just got to grin and bear it. And so we just, you know, rather than fly off the handle and be bitter towards somebody, we just kind of grin because that's what good Christians do. We grin and we just bear it. But really, I tell you what I really want to do is just let you evermore have it. That'll be our attitude. I must not ever show wrath. I don't need to get revenge. So I tell you what, I'm just going to pray that God will rain fire down on them because I can't stand them people. But I know I've got to leave revenge up to God. And then we say, well, I've got to bite my tongue. I don't need to speak evil about anybody. I can't tell you how many times people talk to me and say, I tell you what, I had to bite my tongue. And so what are we doing with that? I could have given them a piece of my mind, but I did what was good. See, the problem with that is, if we do not truly put away these things, but rather we just stifle them, just kind of hide it under the surface, then malice builds up. So the Lord takes an erasure to the whole board and he says, we're going to erase it all. You put away bitterness and you put away wrath and you put away any kind of evil speaking, and you do it by putting away all malice as well. How many of us are doing that? It's a good child of God as we grow that we've got to put away malice. Malice is the intention or the desire to do evil. I didn't do anything bad, but I sure wanted to. Well, you still got malice in your heart. And that's a big problem. You say, well, it's not as bad as, let's say it's not as bad as talking. At least I didn't say anything. That is correct in a sense. You don't fix one sin by doing another. And so if you don't speak evil, that is a good thing. If you don't show bitterness, that is a good thing. But let me show you where malice is a very bad thing. Malice is having wrongful intentions, especially, you know, there's guilt with certain offenses and things like that. But let me say it this way. It is the pressure cooker. Y'all know what a pressure cooker is? People still use them. We do at the house. You get stuff done in half the time, a quarter of the time. So I put just about everything in a pressure cooker. But that thing, you lock the lid down on it and it starts building up steam. And then you put the little jiggler on top and it jiggles back and forth. And then you turn it down so it don't jiggle too much. And, you know, I've talked to some that forgot about that thing. Just maybe in the garden and they're canning or something and they turn the thing on and then they get back busy in the garden and they forget about it. And I can tell you one lady, she come close to dying. She walked in about the time it exploded and it painted her whole kitchen red. She was putting up tomatoes and it painted the entire kitchen red. It blew up. The pressure cooker just exploded. That could be very dangerous. That's what malice is. If you can get that picture, it's the pressure cooker that is forgotten on the back burner, the one that will do great damage when it finally explodes. So, okay, you didn't say something bad, but you didn't let it go. So it's still sitting there and it's simmering. And you didn't show bitterness towards someone, but it's there in your heart, and you just kind of put it on the back burner, and it's still sitting there simmering. And so, malice, let me give you an example of it. It was on full display last night. If you watched the presidential debate, it was on full display. That was an entire year of two, and I'm going to say not just two, three men that sat there and seemed like hated each other. And they let things build up and build up and build up and build up. And whenever they come to one another, they just exploded. A lot of malice that built up there. You say, well, there's bitterness and everything else that come out. That's exactly right. But it's almost like a boxing match. They had been built up and media had them just firing off, you know, back and forth at each other. So when they finally come together, they were ready to explode. Malice. It's a bad thing. Now, we can't expect the world to understand what God is telling us. But you're a child of God. We are to put away malice from us. So as you grow up as a child of God, it's not just about biting your tongue, it's about being able to let it go. So that it don't hurt others, so that you don't explode, but oh, really? So it won't hurt you. Malice is not going to do you any good sitting there building up in your heart. You know, just letting that pressure cooker steam and you build up more and more pressure, because at some point you're going to fly off the handle. And so to just let it go. How often does mom and dad, husband and wife, have to deal with malice? Don't you think about it, you young people growing up, give you something to chew on, and if you think about getting married, a lot of times you see couples that they do these types of things. You know, they try to be real good to each other for a little while, and so something maybe cross is said, and I bit my tongue. But you didn't let it go. You just bit your tongue. Well, you didn't say anything with bitterness right now. Or you hurt, you held back that hurtful blow. You wanted to say something really, really mean, but boy, you was able to hold it back, but you didn't let it go. You just kind of stifled it for a little bit. And so it gets to a point where these kind of things, they just build and they build, and then you'll see Daddy out there in the back, and he's nailing boards, you know, and one strike, and he's putting the nail all the way into the board. Mama's in there, and she's ironing, and she don't have it plugged up. She's just pressing the wrinkles out of the clothes and steaming them out. Just manpower. You ask her, how you doing? I'm doing fine. Oh, you really? You know the Bible says we're to live joyfully with the wife of our youth. Not just stay married, but to live joyfully. We're to live joyfully with one another, and malice will certainly hinder that. And so, maybe you see a husband and a wife, and I've seen it in my home. At times, you do good for a week, or you do good for 3 weeks, and then a month of holding back finally explodes. Malice can ruin relationships. Not only that, it's a big hindrance, especially to the work of God. It's a big hindrance. I want you to know something now. I'm not just trying to be silly. And I know I'll give maybe an example or two that is a little bit silly, but not just trying to be silly. Malice can be put from us. There's a lot of people think there's just no way. You don't know my nature. You know, when you got saved, you have the nature of Christ. You can have the nature of Christ. And so you can just let things go. In fact, grieve not the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Grieve, if you go back and look at, we read verse 31, verse 32, but look at verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Again, the latter part of verse 32, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So the standard is Christ. He forgave you, and God is saying, I don't want you to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And so let malice go. Put it away from you. And the reason we do it, if you need a reason, because a lot of times we say, I tell you what, I'm not going to let nobody run over me. I tell you what, I'm not going to let her just win a fight or argument. And I'm not just going to let him get away with that. If you need a reason, the reason is not so you can feel defeated. That's not the reason we let malice go. It's not the main reason. It's not so you can feel defeated in an argument. It's not because you're right and she's wrong, or she's right and you're wrong. It's not because you need to become skilled in holding in your emotions. See, a lot of people, that's as far as it goes. I've just got to get real skilled in holding in my emotion. No, you need to put it from you. Let it go. The reason is you are saved. And you should care about the spirituality of your home. When we're talking about the home, talking about malice in the home, you should care about the spirituality of your home. I tell you what, I don't know that there's many things that does more damage in a home than malice does. Just constantly having something to steam about. Malice grieves God. And so let it go for the glory of God. So, well, that's easier said than done. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. It is. Yeah. We have to grow. That old nature that we have, whenever we got saved, we were given a new nature. But that old man is still there. And he constantly wants to rear his ugly head. And the things that we would do, we do not. And the things that we would not, those are the things that we do many times. And so there's some things that are easier for us to overcome than others. Some people, they're more meek than others. Some people, you know, they deal with other things. And malice is one of those things that it's so contrary to human nature. Because we look out for number one. And we want to make sure that nobody gets the best of us. And the Lord comes along and He says, forgive like I forgave you. And that tears all that down. It takes away all of our excuses. You say, well, you don't know what they did. It was a very bad thing. I know that whenever they were crucifying Jesus, they were gambling over His clothes. And He looked down upon the ones that were crucifying Him and He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I know He was, maybe was talking about those that were under Him, but I believe He's also talking about me too. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And He forgave me. And I'm saved and I have a part in His work. And I represent Him. I go by His name. And so that is the reason that we are to put away malice. So you say, well, it don't seem easy. It may not. But we need to grow up. All right, so I'm going to read you some very, very grown-up scripture. Okay, so 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble already. Be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, that's the conduct, by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, so let's get that, okay? Because up till now you say, well, you picking on us women. But I'm not. I mean that with all my heart. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad or uncomfortable. But this is Scripture. And God's people have gotten away from Scripture to a point where we see a lot of mess in the world that we live in today. But likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heir together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, if they speak no guile, let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. I'm going to cease reading one of these verses, and that's a mouthful we've already read. But let me put it to you like this. Love your home enough to put God first. That needs to be said and it needs to be taught. That it's not about, well, I tell you what, I'm not weaker than the man, and I tell you what, this, you ought to subject to me, and we get thinking about us, don't we? Let's think about God. I ought to love my home enough that I'm willing to do whatever God says, even if I feel like it rubbed me the wrong way. God said it, that settles it. I heard somebody say, God settles it. I believe it, that settles it. God said it, it settles it, whether you believe it or not. It's already settled. His word's forever settled. And so, when God is the centerpiece of our home, that'll make me love my wife enough to dwell with her according to knowledge. To give honor unto my wife. What does it mean to give somebody honor? To give somebody honor, we put them on a pedestal. Whenever we stand, maybe at the graveside and we're preaching a funeral, we give honor a lot of times to the person. We lift them up. We put them on a pedestal. A lot of times we talk about our mothers on Mother's Day. We give them honor. Let's honor our women. Why? Because they're our mothers. God didn't say do it once a year or do it when they pass away. He said do it as a routine. Honor her. Put her on a pedestal. Treat her like a lady. Treat her like you're supposed to. Treat her like you did when you dated her. That changed a lot if we just do that. Just treat her like you did when you dated her. A lot of times after we get married, we stop doing that. We stop respecting one another. Wives, love your husbands. That's not hard. Love your husband. Love him and don't just let it be about the outward appearance. Don't just let your life be about the outward appearance of what people see in you. Let it be the inward person, the heart. That's in the sight of God. Listen to this again, verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. It is a great price to God. So a husband and a wife are heirs together of the grace of life. That's poetic. You know what? That's poetic. When you think God brought a husband and a wife together, and that husband and a wife are heirs together. God has something for a husband and a wife together. And it's the grace of life. Is there anything in this world we need more than the grace of life? Have you ever looked at an older couple, been married 60 years, 70 years, 55 years, you look at them and you say, they are such a graceful couple. That is such an accurate description most of the time. The reason is because they are heirs together of the grace of God. That's what I want for my home. To be heirs together of the grace of life. Our prayers, whenever we come together and we try to please God with our home, the malice is put away. It naturally just fades away. All of a sudden, we don't want to hurt each other. We don't have to get the last word. Don't have to. I know we've heard you, it ought to be 50-50 in a relationship. And I've said this, I'm glad that sometimes my wife does it all. Sometimes I might have to do 90%. We all get up on the wrong side of bed time or two, don't we? Every now and then, we all get up on the wrong side of bed. Sometimes I get up, I'm just in a foul mood. I tell you what I've noticed in my wife. She's learned to accept that a little bit more over the years. And she's learned to work with it. I'm thankful for that. Because if not, we would always be at each other's throat. And I've learned, I feel like maybe I've learned a little bit to be able to handle some with her. Not perfect. But we're learning. Because I tell you what, I don't want my home to be filled with malice. I don't want something always burning on the back burner that's in danger of exploding just any time you turn around. Tomorrow I may need her to give 90%. Tomorrow she may need me to give 90%. We need to be willing to do that because we love each other. You see, let us be of one mind. That's what he said here. Let us be of one mind. husband and wife to be of one mind. We want to please God in our home. And whenever we do that, malice just kind of fades away. Whenever we start putting God aside, we start thinking about self, getting a little bit selfish, all of a sudden you're going to notice that malice is going to start coming back in. It's going to start building up. Next thing you know, there's going to be an explosion. So we ought to be one another's pop-off valve. No, I shouldn't say it that way. Actually, the Lord is where we go to find grace in time of need. So go to Him. He'll give us the grace we need to be able to just let it go. You need living grace, don't you? So let's work together. I know I didn't intend on spending the whole time on a husband and a wife. Malice is often built up at work. We go to work and, well, I've got to have this job. And so we take this and we take that. Boy, we want to be bitter, but we bite our tongue. That old boss makes us mad. We bite our tongue again. And we walk through the door at the house. And the first time one of us speaks, oh, I just fly off the handle. Why? That malice. We let it build all day. And then we come home and we just release it. Who would you rather hurt? Your boss or your wife? Or your boss or your husband? Are you children? Shouldn't want to hurt either one, should we? So God can help us to even have a, he said, whenever you go to work, do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. So even that old boss, look, I come to work and he gave me the job, but I'm gonna work for the glory of God here at this job. As we do that, we realize God has blessed us with a good job. God has blessed us with the ability to pay our bills. He's blessed us with the ability to have a little money to be able to live in this world. And so I thank the Lord for it. It's not always a good day. I'm not saying everything's always roses. But we can learn to let these things go. You know, malice can build up in a church, can't it? I don't feel too strongly to have to preach that here tonight. I just don't see the problem here as pastor. I don't see where there's a lot of malice building up here at Clear Branch. But if it is, maybe somebody rubbed you the wrong way and said, I bit my tongue. I didn't say anything, but I sure wanted to. And then you start coming and you look at the back of somebody's head and you sit there and think, oh, they think they're so smart. We start talking through our teeth. That's how I do it. Talking through our teeth a little bit. They think they're so smart. Look at them sitting there, hypocrite. Can I encourage you tonight, take the log off the fire? Just take the log off the fire. You know, the Bible teaches us that we are to, we're even rather to take wrong for the glory of God. Don't render evil for evil or railing for railing. Look again. He says, don't. Verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Don't return evil for evil if somebody's done you wrong. You don't have to be mean back. You don't have to get the last word. You don't have to put somebody in their place. You don't have to return evil for evil or railing for railing. But contrariwise, let's go in the opposite direction and just bless them. Be good to them. I'm going to close by saying this. Church, I appreciate how you are such a loving church. You're willing to work together. And I'm thankful that we have not had a lot of that to deal with. I hope we never, ever have to deal with malice here at this church building up. I said last thing, let me say this, if you're here and you're unsaved, don't let the pot simmer. In other words, don't hold a grudge. A lot of times people get aggravated at somebody and they hold a grudge and they'll let that distract them while they're lost. Don't hold a grudge that sends you to hell. Don't let the devil blind you with rage. There's a lot of people that are lost. Maybe they heard something and they let it offend them a little bit, or maybe the preacher said something the wrong way or used the wrong example, or maybe he said Noah when he should have said Moses, and they get aggravated with it, and next thing you know, they sit there boiling over something like that rather than letting God's Word convict them and break them and bring them to repentance. You're lost. Above all, you need to be saved. So turn, trust Jesus with all your heart. Jesus died for you. He paid the sin debt. Hard to get mad when you think about that. He died so that you could trust Him and go to heaven. If you're lost, you need Jesus. Surrender your all. Trust Jesus today. We'll ask for a song.